The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Show.
Are you afraid of ventriloquist dummies? Do they just creep you out because they seem alive?
Well, don't touch that dial.
Because you know that one dummy that scares you the most? The one with the dead-looking eyes? Yeah, him. Anyway, if you turn this program off, he'll pop out of a cabinet when you least expect it.
He's in there now, listening, right now.
Shh, he can hear us.
And now your host,
take it away, big dummy, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Happy New Year, Albin. Happy New Year to you.
Yep.
I can't hear myself. Happy New Year to everybody. Today is our first day back. Is today the second?
Today's the second. It's Tuesday. It's wonderful.
It's 2018.
Wow.
You realize we 2018 is firmly in the future. Like as a child, if someone had said 2018, I would say 2018, we're all going to be dead by then.
Well, or I'd say I'll worry about it when I get there.
But
okay?
Indeed, I'm very much alive.
Alive.
But it's kind of amazing. It's 2018. Okay, we've got a lot to cover. First of all, in this hour, we've got Big Bad John Zmirak.
Yes.
He's big, he's bad, and his name is John Zmirak. And he's going to be giving us an update on the news, the current events that are happening. But so much, Albin, where do we start? Okay, first of all, great news. The CSI campaign, people can still give if they want to give. Even today, we have the banner up at the website.
I think the banner is still there.
I always get these emails from people like, where do I give? The banner says
go
CSI.
To the very, very
go
top.
To MetaxasTalk.com. Yep. MetaxasTalk.com. That's the radio website, not EricMetaxas.com. EricMetaxas.com is my personal website.
And it's wonderful.
And it's there's all kinds of cool stuff there.
Yes.
But if you want the radio website, it's MetaxasTalk.com. And right at the top, you can give. But we have an update, and this does not reflect the last week, I think. But I think at Christmas, our figure was 98,000. Our goal was 50,000, so we failed. We didn't hit 50. We hit 98.
Yeah.
And I apologize.
Yeah.
But the point is that we're going to get it. Tomorrow, we will get the big update of the total.
But, the viewers, the listeners are very generous, obviously.
I want to say yes. Yeah. Thank you. I want to say thank you to every single one of you who gave. And as I said over and over again, if you gave a generous amount, that's tremendous. We are thrilled to death. I really can't thank you enough. We send you gifts and hats and this and that. But whoever gave whatever amount, I want to say personally, this is Eric Metaxas saying to you, thank you, because my goal is to get everybody to participate. If you still haven't participated, I think you could today. Give $10. You'll feel better. You're helping people that are suffering. Give $20. Give $40. Whatever you think you can give.
Some people got Christmas money. You know, give a little of that maybe.
If you can. This is going to a great cause, folks. Okay. A number of things to share. Okay, here's the bad news. Our Metaxas Super Premium has still not launched. You want to talk about failure to launch? Mm. Now, I'm not going to name names, but I can give you their addresses and phone numbers. They live in the Dallas area. No, you don't give the addresses, Eric. Don't do that. But anyway, the point is that somehow we still don't have the button up. Now, who feels foolish? Oh, let me tell you, I feel foolish. I feel embarrassed. I've got egg on my face. I want to say to all my listeners, thank you for caring and emailing us and saying, where's the button? We want to sign up.
Right.
We're going to extend the $2.99 per month offer indefinitely. I guess it's probably February 1st at this point.
Well,
would
that's
be realistic.
What we're shooting for at this point.
But
yeah.
But I have to say that we're gonna keep the cheap price for the sign up because we want to encourage signups and we want to encourage gift giving. If you want to say to somebody, here's a free year of Metaxas Premium Super. You know, I want to do that because I really feel like, you know, we're going to be on camera, we're going to be having a lot of fun, and we want you to participate in that. But I do want to apologize that the button is not up yet because we kept saying it's going to be up by Christmas. It's going to be pathetic. If there's anything I hate, it's when people say something and then it doesn't happen. If you say something, you know, it should happen.
Especially when you broadcast it to all of America and half the world.
And the world, yeah. So there are people in Burundi who listen to this program who
are
disappointed.
Where is the button?
No, that's a great Burundian accent. That's incredible.
Well, I've been there many times.
You've got a lot of arrows in that cute comedy quiver, but a Burundi accent, spot on. Okay, so I do want to say that a Metaxas Super will include, you've heard us say this before, all kinds of extras for your $2.99 a month, the principle of which is that you're going to be able to watch the show on camera on your what do we call these things? Oh, computer. That's
yes,
it.
Yes, your computer.
On your computer. Although now people have features where you can watch it on your TV screen too. So you can watch the program on the TV screen. The initial offering that we did, I think, had all kinds of problems. So we're looking at it as a beta version because I thought to myself, the camera angle is all off. You can't really see my face. I'm not able to look straight at the camera. We didn't have a guest. It was you, and the editor didn't cut to you often enough when you were talking.
Well, that's the biggest
problem. And
then
we've got
problem.
Other stuff, and so it's really just incredible what we are going to be offering. But the main thing is going to be this just absolutely fantastic ability to watch us do the show.
Yes,
we're going to do the show live.
Yes,
or even if we're not doing live, even if we taped it, you're going to watch us doing the show on camera, and it's kind of fun because we're going to have visual stuff to share. Like I could hold up a sign that says "Help, get me out of here," and the radio listeners,
like you're holding up right
the radio
now.
Listeners won't know
unless
they've paid $2.99 a month. And if they don't do it by February 1st, it goes up to $5.99 a month, that's the real price. To be clear, for the premium, is $5.99 a month, but we want to offer our listeners
right till further notice $2.99, but most likely till February 1st. But first of all, the button, okay?
Right. Okay, now before we go to John's Mirac,
yes.
I want to say that Christmas, I sent out emails about once a week, actually exactly once a week. And if you don't get my weekly email, I know I've said this before, you're missing all kinds of stuff. So go to MetaxasTalk.com. Please, folks, because sometimes the only way I can share stuff is in these emails. Go to MetaxasTalk.com. where it says get Eric's latest thoughts, just put in your email there and you can sign up your friends and they have to, confirm it. So it's not like you're signing them up without permission. They'll get an email saying, would you like to be, but this year I shared something, a couple of things via those emails that you're not going to get from listening to this show. One of them is a Christmas poem I wrote on Christmas morning. It's called Christmas at Dawn. And it was the most amazing experience. I woke up on Christmas morning, and normally, you rush out to the Christmas tree. For some reason, we didn't. I don't know if it's because my daughter's older and we didn't, but Suzanne and Anna Rose made Christmas breakfast and stuff. And I was alone waking up with the sun. It was a beautiful morning, and the sun just inspired me to write a poem about the sun rising on Christmas morning, on the original Christmas morning. So you can see that at my website, ericmetaxas.com.
It was a beautiful poem.
Well, thank you. But I wrote a Christmas poem, and then I was also inspired to share. There are three stories, at least, miracle stories that I experience, which are amazing, stinking stories of God that I was not able to fit in the miracles book that came out a couple of years ago. And so I wrote them up, but at the end of the day, they had to be, removed from the. We didn't have enough room. So I thought, why don't I share them with the people who are on my email list? And so I sent them out. One is something that happened in the summer of 2001. One of them is something that happened to me, I guess it was Christmas 2011. Another one is something that happened in 2007. So these are three bona fide, mind-blowing miracle stories. You can read them on my website, MetaxasTalk.com. I'm sorry, EricMetaxas.com. Just go under essays. Lots of stuff that I've written is there. And then the poem is under poems and stuff. So if you go to EricMetaxas.com, you can see all that stuff. But it's fun to share it. I got tons of emails back from people.
You did.
Anyway. Okay, so we're going to go to a break. We are back. It's a new year, and we want to start off the new year right. And there's only one way to do that. His name is John Zmirak. When we come back, we're talking to John Zmirak. I want to say again, Happy New Year to all of you. Don't forget to take Relief Factor. I'm going to take my pills in just a minute. And we're going to talk about everything. Zmirak's always writing articles. You can go to stream.org and check them out. And we're going to talk about some of that stuff when we come back. Stick around.
Take me for a trip upon your magic swirling ship. All my senses have been stripped, and my hands can't feel to grip. And my tongue.
Big John. Big John.
Every morning at the mine you could see him arrive. He stood 6 foot six and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Big Bad John.
Yes, that's right, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show, and I've got John. Big Bad John Zmirak on the line. John Zmirak, Happy New Year to you.
You too, Eric. Good to talk to you again.
And how are those beagles of yourn?
Well, remember that great apartment that you came to where you got to meet him? Well, I lost that apartment because of the beagles.
On account of the beagles. The wretched
That's
beagles,
right.
I meant to say. The wretched, wretched monsters that have ruined your life, to be honest. That's really what they've done. They got you kicked out of that wonderful sweet pad you had. And now where are you? Where are you now, John?
I'm now living not quite the suburbs. I'm living close to Southern Methodist University. Lots of trees and lots of grass, lots of squirrels for the beagles. So I'm sitting here amidst all these unopened boxes.
It's all about the beagles now, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm living out of suitcases and boxes until I can find someone to help me unpack the apartment.
Incredible, incredible. All right, well, John Zmirak, I wanted to begin the year right. I said, that means Zmirak. Got to get Zmirak to talk about what's been going on. I don't care what we talk about. I really never do. Whatever you think is in the news or relevant or trending, what do you think, young man? What do you think we ought to talk about?
Well, I've got a piece that's had some traction over at stream.org called My 2018 Wish List. So things that I hope, though I don't necessarily expect, to happen during the year 2018. And probably the number one item on my wish list is that some left-wing member of the Supreme Court decides that he or probably she would like to spend a lot more time with their family.
Just one?
Well, I'm trying not to get my hopes up too high. It would be great.
I got to say, I think if one of them decides that, I'm sure one of them will either retire for health reasons or pass away. I think I've mentioned before that I was on an airplane about 2 years ago with Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She looked like a mummified pterodactyl.
I have been resisting the urge to say weekend at Ruth's for a long time.
Well, no, but I mean, the point that sounds like I'm joking, but she was I just thought to myself, how can this woman be? She was sleep. The reason I'm saying that actually sounds meaner than I meant it to be. But she was sleeping on the whole flight. It was one of those 38-minute flights from LaGuardia down to Washington, D.C. And she kind of leaned over and fell asleep. And it was a little frightening, to be honest. I thought I was in a haunted house. And then I realized, oh, no, I'm in the Delta shuttle. But it was a little scary because she's somebody that you think of. She's making big decisions and she didn't look well.
Right. I think the problem is that the left has decided to govern via the Supreme Court as well as the deep state. So that voters are irrelevant. This is something Antonin Scalia, God rest his soul, said. He said in the past, when you wanted to amend the Constitution, you did this thing called a constitutional amendment. When they wanted women to have the vote, they didn't go to the Supreme Court and say, we really think that in between the lines of the 14th Amendment is the right for women to vote. No, they went to the states in the procedure laid out by our founders, and they amended the Constitution. It was all fine and above board. When feminists wanted the Equal Rights Amendment, they did the same thing, and they failed. At the same time, however, almost the exact same time, the Supreme Court invented the right to abortion and just imposed it on the country. So instead of having to get both houses of Congress, and I think the legislatures of three-fourths of the states, you just need five people who went to Stanford or Harvard to agree on something.
Or Yale. Those are the
Yale.
Three. That's the axis of evil. Stanford, Harvard, and Yale law schools. And it's actually true. Right. They all come out. Well, I shouldn't say they all come out. We've had, you know, Roberts and others have gone to those schools. But it is an odd thing. And I want to explain, in case of somebody listening, they don't know what we're talking about. I just want to break it down, make it super simple. We have a thing called the Constitution, which is the basis of all of our laws. It is the job of the courts, and especially of the Supreme Court, to interpret what the law says. Not to make laws. To make law, you need to be a legislator, which is to say you need to be a member of the legislative body known as the Congress. If you're not a member of Congress, you don't get to make laws. You get to interpret laws. So to interpret the law, if you're a judge, you look at what it says and you tell people it says this, it doesn't say this, it says this, it doesn't say this. You don't change it. You simply report on what is there. And so in 1973, when the Supreme Court said, oh, there's here in the Constitution, there's a right to an abortion for every American, they effectively invented something. They effectively said something's here, which any reasonable scholar, I'm not talking about a conservative, socially conservative scholar, any reasonable person says, even if I think abortion is great, you can't find a right to it in the Constitution. Something changed in 1973, and they were able to interpret with such latitude that it effectively messed up and undermined the entire republic, the way we have functioned since the beginning. We've been struggling with that now for over 40 years, where when you have legislators who have this kind of latitude, they think they have this kind of latitude given to them, and you're saying, and I'm saying, that they don't have that latitude. They've taken that latitude, and nobody can really take it away from them.
Right, right. So what they've done, they turned the Supreme Court into a permanent sitting constitutional convention. So every term, they get together, and they decide how America should be run, and they decide how contemporary problems seem to be affecting people, and what, you know, words and phrases they can take out of context in the Constitution to make essentially new laws. So, it's not me, it's not some right-wing columnist, it's Justice Scalia who said, we have arrived at a five-person judicial dictatorship.
It's a horrible thing. Look, I remember, and I'm sure you do, Chuck Colson and a number of others, I think Hadley Arkus, Mary Ann Glendon, wrote
Richard John Newhouse.
Newhouse. They wrote in First Things magazine. This is maybe 20 years ago, close to 20 years ago. They wrote something that really scandalized a lot of people. But they made this case 20 years ago that the courts have become like a dictatorship, and that we need to recognize what's happening and do something about it. A lot of people got very angry at them for saying these things.
Right. But, you know, we are starting to do something about it with the Republican Congress throwing out the judicial filibuster. We have a pretty good chance of ramming through a decent replacement to whichever judicial activists retire from the court. It's sad that we lost a Senate seat through a wide variety of mistakes, but we still have a bare majority in the Senate to replace whoever retires. So I think we should be hoping and praying that one or maybe even two liberal members of the Supreme Court decide that they cannot outlast Donald Trump, and they're just going to go ahead and retire and collect speaker seats.
Well,
my first big hope.
That's the first one, right? So we're talking to you, to John Zmirak, and the article you have at the Stream, which is stream.org, is this is your wish list for 2018. So the first one is this idea. I don't think this is the first one in the article, but I guess
the most important one.
Yeah.
The most important one is that we move a little further away from judicial dictatorship, because it's not as if conservative justices are going to say abortion has to be illegal. No, they're just going to say the voters get to speak on this. That's all we're talking about. What the liberals do on the court is they say the voters don't matter. We matter. We decide what the Constitution means. If we decide the entire Constitution is a recipe for gazpacho, wham, now it is.
Okay, so let me add that when we're talking about the judiciary in this way. We're talking about replacing Supreme Court justices. In the past, before Trump, I guess I never had a ton of confidence about who the president would choose. George W. Bush and his father both chose some people that are not spectacular as Supreme Court justices. It seems that Trump, again, rather ironically, because he's been criticized for not being socially conservative enough and for all kinds of stuff, of all the presidents we've had, he seems to have appointed the most constitutionalist, originalist judges. This is not just to the Supreme Court with Gorsuch, but down the line.
I don't think that's a mistake. I think that's a function of politics. Both of the Bushes, their main political base was sort of the Republican establishment, the country club Republicans. Remember that George W. Bush's grandfather, Prescott Bush, was one of the founders of Planned Parenthood of the state of Connecticut.
Isn't that sweet? We're going to go to some cheerful music. Folks, it is a new year. It's the 2nd of January. Today is Tuesday. Tomorrow will be Wednesday. And when we come back, we'll be talking to John Smirak. And it'll still be Tuesday. Stick around.
I told you, homeboy, you can't touch this. Yeah, that's how we living, and you know you can't touch this. Look in my eyes, man, you can't touch this. Yo, let me bust the funky lyrics. Touch this. Fresh new kicks and bands, you got it like that. Now you know you want to dance, so move out of your seat.
Happy New Year. It is the 2nd of the new year, January 2nd, 2018, and I'm starting the new year off right by talking to none other than Big Bad John Zmirak. He's on the line right now. John, again, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Eric. And so here's another item on my wish list for 2018.
Okay, so you've written an article, my 2018 wish list. The first one was Supreme Court justices. The second is what?
I would like to see Pope Francis either repent or resign from the office of Pope.
Okay, first of all, why would you dream that he would do either of those things? When you say repent, you have to be very specific of what you want to repent of. But before you say that, why would you expect that he even might do either of those things? It seems as unlikely as anything.
You know, I'm hoping for the most important things. I'm hoping that Kim Jong-un is taken out in North Korea and replaced by another less violent ruler. I'm hoping that Firefox fixes itself so that if you open more than three tabs, it doesn't trash your computer. I'm allowing myself to hope.
You're a hopeful person. Ever since I've known you, John, when we were just kids back at dear old Yale, that cesspool of communism, even then you were a hopeful young man. Go ahead.
I was hopeful we could beat communism, and we did.
You know, you're right. You're right. Well, okay, so the Pope, when you say the Pope, I'm not a Catholic, but when you say the Pope needs to repent of what specifically?
Of his attempt to impose his personal agenda on the Catholic Church, both in doctrine and in politics. In doctrine, he is changing the Catholic Church's 2,000-year-old teaching on marriage, and bishops who point out that he's exceeding his authority and meddling with doctrine that has been set for 2,000 years, those bishops are getting fired, they're getting reassigned, they're getting marginalized, they're getting humiliated. Someone actually did a book called The Dictator Pope, pointing out that this pope is actually more autocratic and more power-happy than any pope we've seen in 150 years. Previous popes always relied on some measure of consensus. They would listen to experts. They would consult with bishops from around the world. This guy I mean, he had this synod on the family that said one thing. He consulted, got all these bishops from around the world and asked them what they thought about marriage. And they said, well, we think the teaching should stay exactly the same. He said, thank you very much. And then said, in response to the synod, I'm going to change it. So that's one thing. On doctrine, he is pushing the Catholic Church closer to being like a mainline Protestant denomination. He's got a gay activist, James Martin, S.J. He's got him as a special communications advisor for the Vatican. This is someone who under John Paul II would probably not have been permitted to serve publicly as a priest, but with his open views about gay couples. But Pope Francis has got him as a special Vatican advisor. The Pope's number two is this Cardinal Oscar Rodriguez Maradiaga, who is a radical leftist, anti-American, anti-Semite. He's on the record as saying that there was never a clerical sex abuse crisis. It was invented by Jews in the media to punish the Vatican for supporting the Palestinians.
Who said that? And
that's Cardinal Oscar Rodriguez Maradiaga, and it is Alan Dershowitz who called him out on it.
Okay, so is this Pope simply a liberal activist?
Yeah, he's an Argentinian politician who got hold of a bully pulpit, and he's using it to demand that that America and Europe, but not other countries, have open borders. He compared anyone who wants to keep large numbers of Muslims from moving to Europe, he compared them to Herod slaughtering the infants in Bethlehem. He did that in the city of Lampedusa at 2013. You can look it up. But I have a link to it from my article at stream.org. So for all these reasons, now that we have the precedent of Pope Benedict saying, I can no longer govern the church for various reasons, I think Pope Francis should see the chaos he has sown in the church. And he should either change course 180 degrees, and of course, that's what we hope for, or he should just hang it up and cash a check from George Soros and set up a political foundation in Buenos Aires.
Okay, so since you're a Catholic and you're talking to the Pope this way, you're adopting what strikes me as a dramatically Lutheran kind of stance. You could be excommunicated for this, could you not?
No, because I'm not questioning his authority as Pope. I'm saying he's abusing it.
But wait.
Luther questioned the institution of the papacy and the institution of church councils in the 95 Theses. That's what got him excommunicated. You can say a pope is being a bad pope, that he's not adequately teaching Catholic doctrine, and they can't justly excommunicate you for that, but I'm really not that worried about it.
When you say you're not worried about it, is it because you don't think the pope has the power to excommunicate you?
It's because an unjust excommunication is null and void in the eyes of God.
But don't you see? So you're making the same point that Luther was making. In other words, that God supersedes the Pope so that the Pope doesn't have the kind of ultimate authority that what he says might in fact not be so, even if he's speaking ex cathedra as he does in an excommunication.
No, that's not the case. Excommunications are not considered infallible.
Oh, is that right?
Hold on.
We're going to go to a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. We're talking to Big Bad John Smirak. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Do not go away. It is January 2nd. I'm talking to John Smirak. John has an article at thestream.org titled My 2018 Wish List. John, on here, one of my favorite ones is it says that Eduardo Verastegui would become president of Mexico. I have met Eduardo. He is the star of a great film. I'll let you take it from here.
Sure. He's the star, and he helped get it made, of the pro-life film Bella. Classic film that it's actually saved thousands of babies. I know because the people who made it get letters every year from mothers who decided to keep their babies after seeing that very hopeful, beautiful pro-life film.
Right.
Well, he is a heartthrob and a media sensation in Mexico and a devout Catholic, pro-life activist, we would consider him a conservative, and he might be running for president of Mexico. If he were elected, it would greatly improve relations between the U.S. and Mexico.
Wait. He may actually be running for president of Mexico? That's not a joke?
No, that's not a joke. I linked to a news story reporting on it. It's not just a rumor. He's seriously considering it. And if he were elected, I think he would be like a Mexican – I wouldn't say a Mexican Trump because he won't be tweeting. he won't be getting in feuds with Rosie O'Donnell. But he will help make Mexico great again. And one of those things – one of the effects of that would be to decrease the pressure on our southern border in terms of people fleeing the country, because he would take seriously their crime epidemic. He's talked about it in very frank and candid ways. He's talked about human trafficking. I mean, real issues that are kind of taboo in Mexico, he's had the nerve to talk about them. He's had friends and he's had close friends, victims of serious violent crime. And he's a good man. So I think it would be a very hopeful development for both countries and for the whole Western Hemisphere if Eduardo Verástegui, I think I said it right, were the new president of Mexico.
Eduardo Verástegui for president. Day.
That's right.
Presidente. Okay, so he really may be running. I didn't realize. When I read your stuff, I think sometimes you're just being funny, but you can be funny and serious at the same time, as we both know. So that's fantastic. Eduardo for president. I love it. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, then.
You should have him on. If he actually runs, you should have him on.
Oh, if he actually runs, I'll definitely have him on. Now that we've got cameras in the studio, people will want to get a load of him. He's a very good looking man and a good man, a very serious Catholic, faithful Catholic Christian. Okay. What else do we have?
Well, I'm hoping that Donald Trump stays firm on the border and does not grant amnesty to the DACA recipients or the so-called dreamers. If he does, each one of those people through chain migration will be able to sponsor 10 more legal immigrants into the country.
But don't you think I keep hearing that he's going to do this, that he's going to make a trade? In other words, in order to get Congress to fund the wall, he is going to have to do this. Do you think that's not the case?
It's not worth it. It's not worth it, because then what you're doing is you're having a wall with a bunch of open doors in it. If every one of these people – if you don't fix chain migration –
Could he not fix chain migration and let some of these DACA people –
That would be the only way this would be acceptable, if you get rid of chain migration. Chain migration, let me explain, is anybody who gets in and manages to get legal status – can sponsor his whole extended family into the country, regardless of whether the U.S. needs people with that skill level. Immigration through chain migration has nothing to do with, is there a job for this person? Has this person finished high school? Does this person have any money? No. If you are related to somebody who managed to get amnesty, you get in too. It's a crazy system.
I mean,
that Ted Kennedy set up in 1965. I think he wrote it on a bar napkin, and it is utterly irrational. And it's destroying. It's turning one state after another from red to blue. So if you want Texas to become like California, leave chain migration in place, and in 20 years, you will not be able to elect a Republican governor of Texas.
But Trump has come out against chain migration already. So it strikes me
He has to be firm on it. It has to be absolutely no condition. Chain migration must end before anything is done about granting amnesty to people whose parents smuggled them into the country.
Well, I have to get Ann Coulter back on the program, because she has been really hammering this president over not having yet built the wall or having funded the wall. What are your thoughts on the wall?
This is more important than the wall, because this is a revolving door in the wall that anybody can walk through. Build a wall and then let everybody come here legally. That's not a solution.
Right. Well, of course. I guess I'm just wondering if the wall is going to get built, or what's the status of the wall.
I think the wall is very important, too. But chain migration is, in a sense, more dangerous, because it lets them in and then they're legal and then they can vote. Illegal immigrants who come here, in theory at least, can be sent home. If people come in through chain migration, they walk straight into the arms of the Democratic Party. I think we need to just say the future of the country depends in large part how many future Democrats we let the Democrats import via immigration.
Right. Okay, another one of the things on your 2018 wish list is that Congress will defund Planned Parenthood. Where do things stand with that right now?
We failed this time. I think in the Russian negotiations and all the chaos, pro-lifers, we took a big loss that we haven't been talking about much. We're still funding these baby parts retailers to the tune of $450 million a year, so they can pretend to offer women health care when, in fact, their main business is and has been since the 70s, abortion.
You know, I don't know how many people who listen to this program follow you and or me on Twitter, but there somebody from Planned Parenthood Kentucky tweeted out, abortion is health care, abortion is health care, abortion is health care, abortion is health care. And I responded with a tweet that said, Arbeit macht frei, Arbeit macht frei, yeah. Arbeit macht frei. And it got like 400 retweets. We have to explain. A lot of people don't understand what Arbeit macht frei is, but it's what the Germans put over the Auschwitz and Dachau concentration camps. And it's another one of these bold, satanically cynical lies right out of the pit of hell. Very similar to abortion is health care. When we come back, more with John Zmirak. Stick around. Nothing's gonna change my world. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. A couple of minutes left in hour number one with John Zmirak. John Zmirak, you've got this article at the Stream. It's your 2018 wish list. At the end of the list, you say it's your wish that white nationalists will repent. And in that, you mentioned David Duke. Most of us would agree is an unpleasant figure and a white nationalist. But you mentioned Richard Spencer. Richard Spencer, I believe I've had on this program, I don't think of him as a white nationalist. Why do you have him?
That's Robert Spencer. Please distinguish between
them. Thank God. I got so scared. I was like, why is John Zmirak disagreeing with the fabulous Robert Spencer? You're not. Okay. But when you say—
Richard Spencer is the guy who led the thing in Charlottesville.
Okay. Now, here's my question.
Robert Spencer is a brave critic of Islam who has nothing whatsoever
to do with Richard Spencer. Okay. See, I'm glad we said that because Robert Spencer is a hero to me.
They're totally different people.
And I can't believe I was so stupid. We should just cut that out. Okay. Yeah. Now, here's my question, though. I really believe that white nationalism is such a joke that there's hardly anybody in America that is like, this is a super fringe group. The only reason we even talk about them is because the media kind of goes there with the cameras and they act like it's a thing. Is it a thing?
It's becoming a thing for a reason. If you look at academic papers and this great Twitter account, New Real Peer Review, look it up. They publish the abstracts of academic papers. And you'll see that people at colleges all across the country, they treat whiteness as if it were a disease. They talk about whites the way the Germans were talking about Jews in the 1930s. Seriously, they're trying to ban white authors from reading lists at colleges. They're talking about whiteness as a problem that you can go into therapy to get over. There is a real hate campaign being aimed at white people per se, as white people. In reaction, some people are going to the extreme of embracing white nationalism. And what disturbed me is that Paul Nehlen, the guy who ran against Paul Ryan in Wisconsin, I was for him, he has now come out as a white nationalist and is making anti-Semitic statements on Twitter. So I think it's important that we distinguish patriotism and national sovereignty and protection of rights for all and the protection of whites against bigotry and hatred, such as being stirred up in academia, we distinguish that completely from turning your skin color into your politics. And I hope that the people who are doing that and are helping to play into the hands of the left and discredit conservative and Christian causes, I hope they cut it out, and I hope they stop fetishizing their skin color and their ethnic heritage.
Anytime anybody talks about skin color, I have to say, I don't care what side you're on, what color your skin is, it's basically racist to give a darn about the color of somebody's skin. It's amazing to me when people say, well, we're hiring more blacks, or we're hiring more women. The whole idea is to look beyond those categories, that we're supposed to look beyond those categories. Unfortunately, we're out of time. John Zmirak, love having you. Happy New Year to you.
You too.
Folks, that's hour one of the Eric Metaxas Show. Stick around. We'll have more in a few minutes.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.